we're talking about like podcast success, there are a handful of examples, probably more than that, but there are several examples of like how to do this well, but there are tons of examples of like how not to do it well and how to do it really badly. So I think you need to be very discerning about where you get your information from and which sources you choose to listen to.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcasting Success Secrets. My name is Hector Santi Esteban, and for almost a decade, I've spent my days trying to figure out what makes a successful podcast. And this is the show that gives you all the tools and tips and tricks and lessons and failures that I've made along the way, and also to connect you with some cool people that I've met along my journey as well. And today is one of those episodes. We're here with Nathan Anibaba. He's an executive from a B2B podcasting production company across the pond, and we are having this conversation here today. And we're praying to the recording gods to let us have this conversation. And who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what's going to get through today? So if you're listening to this, we made it. Nathan, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Hector.
I love that we get to do this. It's 9 a.m. my time. I think it's a little later where you're at. And we were hopping on from platform to platform and streaming software to software and trying to figure out which one's going to work and which one's going to be the best. And we could look at it and say that it was such a painful kind of experience. And I feel part of me being frustrated. But then on the other side, how beautiful that we get to do this and have this conversation. Because even just our parents could probably never dream of a time where they'd just wake up and chat with a guy from the UK or chat with a guy on the west coast of the US in the morning with their coffee.
Very good point. The marvels of technology, the wonders will never cease. It's an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for reaching out. We've been putting out a ton of content, as you have, about what really works when it comes to producing podcast content, because so many of us are doing it for the purpose of raising our profile, building our brand, generating leads, connecting with decision makers that are very hard to get access to in any other way, and people out there that are absolutely crushing it right now and doing a great job growing their businesses, using the podcast as the sole marketing vehicle for their businesses. And there are others out there that are struggling. This resource that you've got to share knowledge about what works and what doesn't work when it comes to podcasting, I think is extremely invaluable. And there's not enough resources out there helping people to figure out this minefield. So I'm super excited to be speaking to you about it.
That's probably why I feel so passionate, and also why I've continued to do this is I can't tell if there's too much advice or there's not enough advice. I just feel like so many podcasters are looking around going, what do I do? And then they Google it and there's 50 different ways and they're like, which one is right for me? And I guess it's important to talk about what I've realized over that journey is there's kind of these archetypes of podcasters, and the ones that we're not going to focus on too much today is like the hobby podcaster or the one who's just kind of doing it for the love of the art, right? Or even what I call like an amateur podcaster, which is someone who aspires to one day have a huge Patreon or have a huge sponsors and be the next Joe Rogan or Call Her Daddy or these next YouTube shows. There's that. And there are those kinds of people. Where I think we kind of align is on these podcasters who also have a business and who see podcasting as this opportunity to do what you said, to be the all-in-one marketing medium or vehicle for them to promote and grow their business because of all the things that it can do. Thought leadership and connections and referrals and content and the list goes on. I think that's the archetype or that's the type of podcaster who's probably going to resonate most. Not to say that those other groups won't be able to take some value from the conversation today, but I think it's also important to note for the listeners that it always depends. You know, that's like the classic podcasting answer is like, what should I do? It's like, it depends.
We specialize in helping businesses that are in the main targeting really senior decision makers in B2B businesses. So these decision makers that are heavily sold to in other ways. There are lots of salespeople that are constantly emailing them and calling them and trying to invite them to trade shows, and they're constantly ignoring them or finding ways to not engage in the salesperson's message. So we find that podcasting works so well from the point of view of being able to reach out to decision makers that are very difficult for you to get access to in any other way and start a relationship with that person. And in B2B, where one single deal or a handful of deals can be your entire business, building those relationships is extremely important. And a podcast is the first point. It's not the be all and end all, but it's the starting point to a multi-point relationship and conversation with an individual that you want to start a relationship with. Aside from that, there's obviously the audience who are also tuning in and listening and consuming your content as well. And you're using the podcast as a vehicle to sort of develop a relationship with those people over time as well and bring them into your ecosystem. But I'll give you an example. There's a business that I interviewed recently in London. David Breer is his name. He runs a company called 11FS. They're a fintech challenger consultancy. So they essentially help build banks. It's probably one of the most boring traditional financial services, although financial services and the fintech world is going through a bit of a revolution. So it is actually quite interesting at the moment. But historically, financial services has been a very dry, boring, dull industry. And their podcast has 28 million downloads. And by the way, downloads isn't always the number to focus on and obsess about. But over the last 7 years, they've built a podcast that has got 28 million downloads. They interview some of those are the biggest banks in the world, as well as everyone else in between in the industry. It's the predominant or the main fintech podcast in the world. If you want to know about what's going on in fintech, you go to David Breer and 11FS podcast. It's called Fintech Insider. But they've built this whole community, this whole ecosystem around them to the point now where their podcast is their only marketing that they do. They don't do any other marketing aside from their podcast. Their marketing is a profit center for their business. So what that means is that they make money from every pound that they spend on marketing. They make two back, which is the holy grail for pretty much every business. So they've succeeded in building a podcast that has really revolutionized their business. It's how they win business. It's how they retain business. It's everything. So if we're talking about like podcast success, there are a handful of examples, probably more than that, but there are several examples of like how to do this well, but there are tons of examples of like how not to do it well and how to do it really badly. So I think you need to be very discerning about where you get your information from and which sources you choose to listen to.
Yes, that is the big takeaway, if nothing else, to know who you're listening to. And don't listen to just anybody who's hopping on a mic and throwing up a podcast. Nathan, I've talked about it on the show, but I'm curious for you, what makes podcasts, the medium specifically, different? Because there are lots of different routes that someone can go, right? Whether it's SEO or PR or paid ads, or there are all these kinds of things that you can add into the marketing mix. And I think they all bring something unique. For you in your head, what's kind of the driving thing, or what's the leading thing for podcasts when it comes to what it can do for businesses?
The absolute main thing is just how close you can get to your customer. There is no other medium where you can literally speak into the ears of your customers when they are doing their dishes or picking up their kids from school, or in those real sort of private moments when you're in your downtime. This is not an ebook or a white paper where you're at your desk at work and you're in work mode. Most people consume podcasts in their spare time and in their downtime and in between other things. And if you can become part of someone's valuable real estate, like that valuable time between leaving work and going to pick up their kids or like doing the dishes or hoovering or what have you, I think that's extremely valuable and important. But the thing that's unique about podcasts that helps you get there is the intimacy. I think the reason why people love podcasts and specific podcasts is because you can't fake a relationship with someone. It's either you like that person, or even if you don't, that can be attractive as well. But there's this whole thing about, especially in B2B at the moment, that most businesses kind of like the idea of what a podcast is, but they think that what they should be doing is putting out perfect, polished answers to their customers' problems. In fact, what they should be doing is just being authentic, just being themselves, just talking like they normally would talk in their office or at home. Just be human, because it's that humanity that we connect to. That's the lubricant of podcasting. That's the thing that gets people going in podcasting, is the fact that you feel like you connect with this person that you're listening to, like you know them. I'm sure you've been in a situation many times with podcasts that you listen to, that after a while, you feel as though you know this individual, to the point where if you actually bumped into them on the street, you'd probably go up to them and start a conversation and they would have no idea who you are. I think that's the uniqueness about podcasting. But in order to get there, you have to be authentic. You have to be yourself. You have to be genuine. You can't try and be somebody else or something else, because people will see through that pretty quickly.
Are you familiar with the term parasocial relationship? Is that what they call it? Familiar with that term?
No.
So it's essentially what you described, right? It's a one-sided relationship that develops through social media. And it's where people feel like they know this person. And I could be miscalling it wrong, but it's something like a parasocial relationship. But that's exactly what you described. And what's interesting is that usually people associate it with an Instagram channel or a TikTok or even a YouTube. And I would argue that perhaps a YouTube channel might be a quicker way to create that relationship. But right behind that is podcasting. And with most podcasts, there's an opportunity for it to also be a YouTube channel. And I think it's the quickest path to creating that sort of relationship. And a lot of people talk about the downside and the negative sides from the audience side and the mental health aspects and stuff like that. But when it comes to B2B and creating a relationship with our prospects or our potential clients, there's no other form of content that I've found that has been able to do that at as accelerated of a rate as podcasts can.
100%. I totally agree. But there are a few ways that you need to do it to get it right. And there are lots of ways to get it wrong. But it goes back to what I said before about being yourself, about being genuine, about showing your math. And this is totally common when it comes to corporate businesses or enterprise businesses. They feel as though they need to talk a certain way, or they feel as though they need to have the perfect answers. And they treat podcasting as a platform where you just provide the correct answers in all their correct forms to all the people that have questions. But actually, what people want, in my opinion, in a podcast is they want to hear you're working out. They want to hear how you got to an answer. You know, in your math class, your teacher would give you the correct answer for showing your math, showing you're working out, as well as the correct answer. We don't just want the correct answer. We want to see how you got there. And it's okay that you're wrong, right? It's okay that you've made mistakes. And that's part of the vulnerability. And that's the connective tissue that connects human beings to each other. It's like, oh shit, I messed up there. I shouldn't have said that. Or actually, I got this completely wrong. Like, if you're the business owner, that's terrifying for most business owners because you're expected to have the answers, but that's not the reality. People can sniff that stuff out a mile away.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you say that. We started a show recently. I wouldn't say it's an obscure niche because it's something that it impacts everybody, but it's not something that a lot of people are interested in. And it's a very kind of niche specific show. And I only say that because the hosts did a really great job. And I wish I could take all the credit for it, but they did a really great job of just going on and being themselves and really kind of bringing in their personality into it. And it really felt like you were just sitting around the lunch table listening to these guys who are the CEOs and executives. So they're brilliant minds and they're talking shop, but they're just like they were talking shop out on the floor, right? Or wherever it was. And so the person on the other end can really relate to it, as opposed to they don't feel like, you said, they're being lectured or that they're getting some dictation or that it's some scripted thing. It's the opposite of that. It's really just you getting to know them. And I can't tell you how many inbound, they've had so many people reach out to them that are coming to them as potential clients because they've listened to the show. And it just cuts through so much of that decision-making process or that vetting process, if you will, that so many businesses have to go through when they're thinking about hiring somebody or a vendor or contracting something.
Couldn't agree with you more. It's all about authenticity, and no one else is better at being you than you. I mean, it's such a cliche at this point, but it's so true. And so few people do it, you know, especially in the early days of podcasting. And listen, I was guilty of it. I'm sure you were guilty of it. Like so many of us have been guilty of it in the early days of podcasting. We kind of feel as though we need to be a certain way, buttoned up or polished in a certain way, but actually just be you, talk like you talk. And conversely, that will be the thing that will make you the most successful.
Yeah, it's interesting. We started a show recently in the men's mental health space, and it's our newest show, but it's caught up to some of our other kinds of industry specific shows because there's a wider of a base, but also it's the chance where I've done mostly that. I've kind of taken off the tie and the button, and it's been very much an authentic version of me, as opposed to much of this show was me learning what you're talking about. And I remember episode one was with Hala Taha, and she's amazing. And God, she was graceful. And she was probably like, Jesus, this kid is so rigid and he's got his questions. And it was like almost sterile kind of experience because I was so worried about doing and saying and sounding the right way, as opposed to doing what you're talking about, which is just being me. And it took me, you know, a couple hundred episodes to figure that out. But here we are, and hopefully we're better for it.
Yeah, I can tell that you're a seasoned pro at this just from your introduction, just how smooth and relaxed you are. I can tell that this is just you. And it really connects me to the conversation in a way that if you were trying to be somebody else, the conversation wouldn't flow. It wouldn't be authentic. I wouldn't be able to bring my best self to it because I'd feel like I have to be somebody else as well. It just wouldn't work. But I can just feel that this is just very natural.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. It's like I said, it's taken me several hundred of these conversations to feel that way. So if you're on that journey, just stay on the journey. Nathan, I want to take a pivot here because I got you on the line, on the figurative line here. And there's something that we've been rolling around with our clients for a while, you know, some things that we've been working on for a while that we're trying to programatize, if you will. And so I want to kind of use you as a sounding board, if that's okay. Because I think that if you can take it and run with it, and I'd love to hear how it works with you, or you can kick back and kind of push back on some of these answers. But just to kind of give you some background and some context, when we took over one of the shows, and it's one of our biggest shows that we work with, we came in and we kind of did an audit on the reviews and the downloads and such, and the downloads were going down. And a big reason why was because the reviews were like 1 and 2 star reviews. And granted, the production team, the ones who were doing it, they had kind of taken their eye off of the wheel for a little while. And so there were some technical things that caused these issues. But essentially, one of the biggest issues that the listeners were having was that it was too many ads, and that the ads, there was just too many. And the challenge was that this particular show had a full year of ads sold out in advance of this. So we kind of had to like figure out and find a way, how do we integrate the ad experience into the listener experience and still kind of keep all of our partners happy? And so fast forward, I'll kind of take you kind of to the end. And through that process, we kind of worked through, we figured out that what we started to do is we structured our show into 3 parts. And a lot of people would do a pre-roll, right? The pre-roll, that's the one that, you know, everybody loves. But the challenge with the pre-roll is that it's really easy to skip through. You know, they got their phone in their hand, and so they skip through it really quickly. And so what we started to do is something that we call a feature. It's probably called something else, so a lot of people call it other, but it's the ad spot right after the intro. So usually like 3-ish minutes into the, you know, 3 to 5-ish minutes into the show, once the listener is settled into the episode, and then that ad spot comes in. So we do a feature spot, we do a mid-roll spot, and then we do an end-roll spot. And we were using it for the sponsors for the length of that. Fast forward, that show kind of goes through an acquisition and changes a bunch of things. And now it's owned by a company that is kind of a service-based company. And they didn't really want to utilize all those ads for sponsors. They would rather sell their own stuff. Naturally, it was a better margin that way. And so we kind of did that same program, and we just directed all of those ad spots at the company. But what we realized is that just hitting them over the head with the same ad or the same thing at the same time didn't work. And so we started to switch up the feature and the mid-roll and have all of those 3 ad spots. But we would keep them short, and we would mix them up with different lead magnets and different kind of opt-ins. But it was really the mix of those 3 different ad spots. And then the end roll, we like to use kind of like as an editorial sort of thing that's a little longer, and features and mid-rolls we like to keep, you know, 30, 45 seconds and quick so people don't skip them. But that's kind of been the system that we've been using. And for that company, it's like you said, it's the number one driver of clients for 8-figure business. And the podcast is the biggest driver of clients for them.
Incredible.
So we're trying to roll that out for other, we're trying to test that out with other people and see if it wasn't just a flash in the pan. But I'm curious what you think about, you know, something like that.
Yeah. First of all, kudos to you and your team for spotting the issue and then like coming up with a really innovative solution to solve the problem. The first thing I would say is that we don't do a huge amount of ads. In fact, because of the nature of our business, we tend not to do many ads at all for our clients. So I won't be able to give you any of my direct experience in this area. However, I can tell you my opinion about how I feel about ads and the experience of ads and consuming content, because I think it applies wherever ad inventory is being experienced. My opinion on this is that whatever you're doing to create content, if what you're doing is taking away from the listener experience or the viewer experience, if it's damaging that experience, then you should stop it, or you should figure out a way, an innovative or creative way, as you've done, to change it. Quite clearly, in the example that you just shared, the experience that people were getting, it sounded like people valued the show, they liked the content, content, but it was the experience of the ads that was damaging the overall listening experience, hence why they were getting so many 1 and 2 star reviews. So I think if what you're doing is damaging the listener experience, it's all about the listener experience, because if you don't have an audience, if you don't have regular listeners, then you have nothing. And ultimately what you're trying to do here is you're trying to build a loyal following of people that subscribe and listen to you on a regular basis, so much when they're in the market to buy your product or service, they think of you. But if they're not doing that, and if that experience is being ruined because of the ads that you're shoving in front of their face, then you're not going to get the chance to do that. So I can't give you any specific tactics or things that you should try, because we haven't had direct experience in that area. But my overall position and philosophy on this is it goes back to things that we do for ourselves, for our B2B clients. So even though we don't necessarily do ads, there may be short ads that we run for the client's business themselves, or we may focus a little bit more on the journey of the guest to where they are now. And we realize that actually, after analyzing the content that we've been putting together, there are certain types of content.
Yeah, that was really the number one thing, was like, how do we create this listener experience? And so there was a lot of humor that was involved. The ad reads, they were short. We kept them 45 seconds max. They were host read. And then we had an interesting kind of decision where it was like, we used to not have a lot of ads on our other shows, but then we started thinking like, why not? Why wouldn't we at least nudge them towards what we want them to do? And if we're doing it in a way that offers value, we're not doing these, you know, 5-10 minute ads like Joe Rogan, and we're not just asking them to buy over and over again the same way. I couldn't find a good reason why we couldn't. In the same way, when you watch a documentary, there's these ESPN ones. I think the most famous one was the Michael Jordan documentary. It was like a 6-part series. And I don't know, it felt like the whole world, at least, you know, the US had watched it and tuned in. And all it was, okay, so you know what I'm talking about. And all it was is at the beginning, it was like, brought to you by Facebook. And it was just 7 seconds. And it was just an impression. And someone was like, oh yeah, Facebook. It was so subtle and it didn't interrupt the experience, and then it moved on. That's how I look at these ad spots, where they're so quick that someone doesn't even have the chance to grab their phone and get upset. It's just another impression and another way to remind people, oh, this is a legal show, but also we offer legal advice. And specifically, here's who we offer legal advice for. And if you're one of these, we've got this for you. So you want to go grab that? I'd love to see it. Now let's get back to the show. And it's like, it's so quick, but to your point, it's really taking into consideration the listener behavior or listener experience. Nathan, as we wrap up here, I'm curious, as you look forward to 2024, there's all this people who are saying that it's the beginning and we're just the start of the podcast. And some people are saying we're doomed. I mean, it's like, I don't know, everywhere in between. What's your outlook and what are you most excited about as we kind of go? Let's see.
What am I most excited about? I'm most excited about new format in podcasting. So what we're experimenting a lot more with this year is news style in studio format shows. And what I mean by that is whereby we want to start incorporating current affairs and news more into our content. So actually talking about, especially for our B2B clients who want to be positioned as experts, instead of them inviting guests onto the show and doing deep dives into their expertise, we want to be almost stop relying on an individual host and have a panel of hosts or a group of hosts that the audience can get to know and build a relationship with. And almost like when you watch Friends, so you're tuning in to hear the dynamic between Rachel and Ross and Phoebe, and you're not necessarily there for the external guest that they bring in. So we want to incorporate more of a panel sort of idea for our clients. And we also want to bring in more news and current affairs. So we're making the shows a lot more current. At the same time, we're not neglecting the fact that we don't want to have evergreen content. We do want to make sure that the content remains evergreen, but it needs to have a current affairs angle to it, just to make it a little bit more fresh and current and encourage people to sort of engage in the content now because of what's going on in the world or in their industry. I think there's a huge opportunity at the moment for brands to become the source of news in their industry. And if you can become that brand that your customers go to learn about what's happening in their industry or in their space, I think there's a massive opportunity in podcasting to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Nathan, this has been a fantastic conversation. I'm going to try and wrap it up while the recording gods are still smiling on us. So where can people find out more or go deeper in your world?
So the website is bridgegrowth.org, bridgegrowth one word, or just Nathan Anibaba on all the socials. That's A-N-I-B-A-B-A, not Alibaba like the thief, Anibaba, A-N-I-B-A-B-A. And yeah, I'm pretty much everywhere, mostly on LinkedIn. You'll find me there mostly, but yeah, I'm pretty much everywhere.
Cool. Go get connected with Nathan. And we appreciate all of you who stuck with us. If you made it this far, we would love and forever grateful for a rating or review wherever you get your podcasts. And if you know someone who has a show and is thinking about starting one, hit that share button and send this to them. And let's reach out and lend a helping hand to another podcaster. So let's grow the community together. And we appreciate you being here. As always, we'll see you on the next one. Later, y'all.